fellowship is relationship with one another. In fact, the word there is koinonia. That means this partnership, this strong, unified fellowship with other people.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this had been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence, a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours, and I believe that my eyes will see that. I've seen so much happening already. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways. Let's get ready for today's message.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Today we continue on in our series called Habits, and tonight's message is called Word and Meditation. We'll be taking a look at Psalms chapter 1. Let's join Pastor Mark for tonight's Straight Talk.
If you're in the habit of putting some savings aside and you've been doing that for years, guess what? Your bank account will reflect that. If spiritually you've been putting into practice some habits that strengthen your spiritual life, then right now your spiritual life will reflect that. Because it's not what you do one time with a lot of energy and a lot of focus that changes your life. It's what you do week after week, month after month, year after year, in a repetitive, continual, habitual basis that literally will shape the person that you are today. And that's why habits are so important. Because habits really affect your destiny and your character more than anything else in life. And so we are talking about habits, disciplines that make a difference, and challenging you to begin to put into practice some disciplines, some habits that can literally change the course of your future. Now this morning, I want you to take your Bibles for a minute, and I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Because there's four habits that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. Four habits. Now, there's a lot of habits that we could select, and there's a lot of good habits that are out there. But we've selected four habits, and we're going to focus in on these habits and encourage you to practice these habits for 21 days. They tell us that it takes about 21 days to form a habit. It takes about 21 days to break a habit, 21 days to form a habit. So there's four little things that won't take you more than probably 15 to 20 minutes a day, that if you begin to practice them for the next 21 days, I believe can have a huge effect on your life. Where did we get these habits from? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they are listed. When the church started, the Spirit of God came upon 120 people at Pentecost, and something extraordinary happened there. And then it says that all these people were gathered together and they had gotten baptized and the church was started. And in verse 42, it gives us the secret to their growth. It says, and they devoted themselves. That word to devote means that they were passionately committed. And they devoted themselves to four things. Here you go, our four habits. Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Of course, you know that back there, in those days, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have the printing press. And all they had was the Old Testament. And so it was the apostles that had heard the teachings of Jesus that turned around and passed those teachings down to the believers of those days. So in essence, it's saying they devoted themselves to the teachings of Jesus. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. Habit number one. Second habit. And they devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship is relationship with one another. In fact, the word there is koinonia. That means this partnership, this strong, unified fellowship with other people. And that's going to be our second habit, the habit of communion and confession, getting things right with people quickly. As quickly as something goes wrong, we get it right away. Thirdly, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. You say breaking of bread? Yeah. And this is not talking about eating. You thought, boy, I thought that was a good habit. They devoted themselves to eating. No, the breaking of bread is another way of saying communion. When they broke bread and drank of the cup and of the bread, it's another way of saying worship. It's the Lord's Supper. It's a time of celebrating what Christ has done. So they devoted themselves to the Word of God. They devoted themselves to communion and confession, getting things right with each other. They devoted themselves to worship and adoration. And fourthly, they devoted themselves to prayer. And we're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. And these are four habits, four very basic, simple habits, but that if you can begin to find a way of practicing them on a daily basis, they can literally change the way you function and your spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to notice this, by the way, that as a result of these believers practicing these four habits, there is something incredible that occurred. If you continue to read to the end of the chapter, you'll discover that it generated a spirit of faith. Miracles begin to happen and people's lives were transformed and God worked in powerful, unusual ways. Why? Because there was an atmosphere of faith that existed as these believers continued to grow. And not only that, but there was a sense of sacrifice and community and commitment towards each other as God was doing this work. Why? Because they were practicing these habits. And if you look at the last verse of chapter 2, it says, and they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As these believers grew in these four habits, they had an attitude of worship, and lo and behold, a whole bunch of other people were coming to know Jesus. So when we begin to practice these four habits corporately, we set the stage for God to work in some extraordinary, powerful ways. That's why I'm excited to talk to you about the habits or disciplines that make a difference. So the first habit I want to talk to you about today is the habit of the Word and meditation. And to do so, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. The first three verses of Psalms. Now, I am convinced that this habit that I will talking to you about this morning is one of the basic, fundamental, powerful habits that will set the stage for the other habits. In fact, I'm convinced that you need to, the earlier you start practicing these habits, the better. And this is the habit of the Word and meditation.
This morning as I left my home, my 8-year-old Grant, he's one of the early risers. No matter what time he goes to bed, he always gets up early. And about a month and a half ago, or 2 months ago, we got him a little hardcover Bible. It's like a comic book Bible. It has the stories of the Bible, but in a comic book fashion and with the little letters underneath. And we had been talking to him about him learning to get in the Word. You need to learn to get in the Word. And so we didn't plop a big King James Bible on him and say, hey, start in Leviticus, son. No. You want to do it simple and easy. And so he said, hey, son, why don't you start reading the Bible? You know, learning to get into the Word. It's a comic book Bible, but hey, the Word is the Word, right? And so this morning as I walked, as I was getting ready, I popped my head in his room. I saw that his light was on, and there he was, curled in his seat. Of course, he had a bear's blanket on him right there, covering him up. And he had his Bible, and I said, son, what are you reading? And he said, I'm reading here about some lady that Jesus ran into at a well, and you know, he asked for water, and it's a little confusing, Dad, but you know, he says, if you drink my water, you're not going to thirst again. And I thought, yay. See, at 8 years old, he's getting into the Bible. And here's the thing. I think the earlier we get into good habits, then the greater the payoff in our life. You see, some of you, it wasn't until you were 50 years old that you even opened or cracked the Bible open and started reading it, and you said, I wish I would have known this years ago. But you have the opportunity now to start a new generation that starts earlier. And the reason I emphasize that so much in my life and in my family's life, because I know that the habit of the Word can change your thinking, and it all starts by changing your thinking and your spirit. And if your thinking and your spirit change, then your habits change. And if your habits change, your lifestyle changes. And if your lifestyle changes, then your destiny changes. I have a 13-year-old son, Josiah, that for 2 years, now, basically, he's been reading a chapter a day in the morning. He gets up in the morning, does the same thing. He reads a chapter, and he's worked his way all the way through the New Testament, and he's worked his way through most of the Old Testament, and it's a habit. It's a habit. My daughter's not a morning person, so she doesn't do it in the morning, but she's working on regularly having a quiet time as well, being consistent in that. Why? Because her mother and myself, we've talked to them about it, and because it's something that's important to us. You see, I believe if they can develop habits now in life, when they get older, it's going to have major payoffs in their life because they'll have the Word in here and the habit to change their thinking.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Word and Meditation from Pastor Mark's new series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Word and Meditation.
And Psalms talks to us about that. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man. And by the way, this word man is not referring just to male. It's a generic form addressing men and women like mankind. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. I would like to give you three principles this morning that will help you apply this idea of truth and meditation. Truth and meditation. You will experience the full transformation of truth and meditation if you put these three things into practice. Principle number one, you need to choose not to allow your surrounding and culture to be the primary influence on your thinking. You need to choose what's influencing your thinking.
Do you realize that everyone's thinking is shaped by something? And most of us, our thinking is shaped the most by the people that are closest to us or around us. Do you realize that? That typically whatever culture you're in, whatever environment you're in, whatever people you hang out with are the people that they're shaping your thinking. Have you ever been around someone and you see them start to change? And then you ask them, you can't figure out exactly why they're changing. And then you discover that they're hanging out with a new crowd of people. And when you meet their friends, they sort of talk the same, dress the same, listen to the same music. And then you realize, I see where they're getting it, because they're hanging out with this crowd. You see, we are most influenced by the people that are closest around us or surround us. In fact, that's true of our family. You tell me what kind of home you grew up in, what kind of relationships you had, and I'll tell you the university that has shaped your life the most. It's your family. Now, I talk to couples about this all the time when they get ready for marriage and premarital counseling. When I ask a couple, what is it that has shaped your view of what marriage is the most? It's typically whatever household they grew up in, whatever marriage they saw, is what shapes their image the most of what marriage should be. Why? Because that's what you saw. That's what you think it is. That's what you saw mom and dad do. So when you go to marriage, that's your idea of marriage. But what the psalmist is telling us is here is if you are going to be a blessed person means a person that flows with God's favor, that God's goodness and his favor is in your direction, that wherever you go with the favor of God. Whatever you do it with the favor of God upon you. If you are going to be a blessed person that walks in the favor of God, then listen, you are going to have to be countercultural. That means that when everybody's going this direction, you say, wait a second, I'm going that direction. Now, when everybody's talking a certain way, you say, you know what, I don't talk that way. When everybody's doing this thing, you say, you know what, I can't. And that's what it says. It says, blessed is the man who, and he has three verbs here, walk, stand, and sit. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That word walk, by the way, is symbolic for the idea of believing a certain way, a pattern, a value of the world, that he doesn't live a certain way. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, that you don't have an ear, you're not listening to people that are ungodly and getting all your advice and value from them. And then he says, blessed is a man who does not sit or stand in the way of sinners. That idea of stand means someone that doesn't behave like those. That you're not behaving, not only are you not believing like they believe, but you're not behaving like they behave, like the people around you that don't have God are behaving. And then it says, or sit in the seat of mockers. That means that you're not belonging, you're not necessarily in the in crowd, you don't belong to that group, you don't believe that way, you don't behave that way, you don't belong that way. In essence, what he's saying here is your thinking and your mind is molded by something. And most of us allow our mind to be molded by the society, by the culture, by our workplace, by our school, by the people that are most around us. But if you're going to follow Jesus, let me tell you something. You're going to have to be an independent thinker. Well, Pastor, I want to be popular. I want to be in the in crowd. Well, guess what? Sometimes you can't be. Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if they hated me, what makes you think that they're always going to love you? You see, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, sometimes Jesus ended up crucified. People didn't like what he had to say. He flowed against the crowd sometimes. Listen to me, if you're in high school or you are in junior high, there's incredible peer pressure. Why? Junior high kids are just developing a sense of who they are, and the greatest sense of who they are they tend to get from the group that they hang out with, right? I mean, every junior high or high school people know you have the populars over here, and you have the sports jocks over here, and you have the goths over here, and you have the hard rock punkers over here, and you have the in crowd and the out crowd. And everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to feel like I am somebody and belong to some crowd. But listen, if you have Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, listen, you already have a crowd. You already belong. And you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's your new identity, and you need to embrace that, understand that, and that means you're not always going to be able to do what everybody else does and follow everybody else, because you have your own identity. You are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you need to understand that and gain that and grasp that. That is your identity. And the Bible tells us here that you're going to be blessed. If you're not shaped by the people around you, you say, well, then Mark, what's going to shape our lives? What's going to shape our thinking? Well, look at what it says in verse 2. It says, but is a word of contrast. But instead of having your thinking shaped by your culture, you have your thinking shaped by something else. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. So let's define this for a second. First of all, we need to make sure that our surrounding, our culture, is not the primary influence in our thinking. Secondly, you'll be transformed by the truth when you learn to enjoy and focus consistently on the principles of the Word. Notice what it says. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know what the law of the Lord is? It's talking about the Bible. The law of the Lord, the principles of God, the rules of God, the principles that govern our living, the laws of the Lord. And his delight, when someone delights, it means they get a lot of joy out of it. They're into it. They're hungry for it. They have a blast in it. They really like it. Well, says, you know what, my favorite ice cream is, you know, the rainbow ice cream over there on 95th Street. Man, I really like that. People say, no, you know, my favorite food is a big Italian beef sandwich from Al's Beef on Taylor Street. And man, whoa, I get all excited just thinking about it. Sort of you get delight out of it. You enjoy it. And what it says here is that the man that's going to be blessed is a person that gets a thrill, a delight. He's hungry, he enjoys, he tastes, he has satisfaction in what? In the law of the Lord. That means in the Word of God. The man that's going to be blessed is the man that's the person that's into the Word. They say, I love to learn. I want to learn. I enjoy it. I love it. I delight in it. It's not like, okay, the Word. No, I like it. I want to know more. I want to savor it and taste it because I know that this Word changes me. I love the Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You say, well, what does it mean to meditate? Well, you know, maybe when I say the word meditate, you have a picture of someone sitting cross-legged with their fingers like this, going and being told, hey, empty your mind from everything and just meditate. Well, that's not what the Word of God is talking about. In fact, I think that has very little value to your life. To empty your mind and think about nothing doesn't really produce much.
Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of our message called Habits, Word, and Meditation. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do have a wonderful night and join us again on the next Straight Talk. God bless.